If you notice from where Brother Chuck read us in leading scripture, we're back in Matthew chapter 5. I wanted, from a human perspective, to preach a Thanksgiving message this morning, but as I prayed about it and as I studied about it, God just seemed to direct me back to Matthew chapter 5 this morning, and as I got here this morning, I understood why. It's always amazing to me how God knows best, and I've always reminded when he does something like he did this week and this morning as he dealt with me, that I'd just be better off not even to have a will when it comes to what to preach. Just be obedient. So we're back in this in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount in this section called the Beatitudes. All these verses, 8 or 9 of them, that begin with the word blessed. And those of you that have been here, and by the way, this is our 7th message from the series, and don't think just because you haven't been here for the first 6 that you won't get anything out of the one this morning. They're all standalone messages, and we're talking about being happy. That's what that word blessed means. It means happiness. Not the happiness that the world knows, not the happiness that depends on circumstances, but true, deep down, to the core, bone deep happiness. And Jesus was talking in this sermon, not to the masses, but he was talking to his disciples. And again, if you don't have your Bibles open, just let me read it. And seeing the multitudes, and a lot of people say, well, he preached this to the multitudes. No, it says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So this particular sermon that we know as the Sermon on the Mount was not preached to the masses. It was preached to his disciples. It was preached to those who wanted to serve him, to those who had been obedient to his call to follow him, to those that wanted to be like him. And what he was saying, and again, we're just looking at the first section. I went through this week and read again the whole Sermon on the Mount there through Matthew chapter 7. And all of these things that are in this message are directed to disciples, to Christians. And what Jesus is saying, not only to that group, and I think it was more than the 12, I think it was those that had identified themselves as disciples of Christ at that point in time, and so it was probably a large number. But he was talking, and what he was saying was, look, if you want to be like me, if you want to be Christ-like, if you want to be a little Christ, and by the way, that's what the word Christian means, a little Christ. If you want to be a little Christ, then here's the things that you need to have in your life. Here's the things that your life needs to be marked by. Here's the character and the characteristics you need to have in your life. And they go from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, all the way through Matthew chapter 8. The whole Sermon on the Mount is directed to Christians that says, here's what needs to be in your life if you want to be like me. And the first one that he mentions in this whole Sermon on the Mount is happiness. He uses the word blessed. I think, as I study the Bible, as I look at these verses that we've been delving deep into the last few weeks, that there's no doubt in my mind that God wants us, as His disciples, as His children, to be happy. Over 300 times in the Bible, the word blessed or blessedness is used. And Jesus used it 60 times in the Gospels, in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 60 different times Jesus talked about blessedness, about being happy. Now, it tells me a couple of things. It tells me, first of all, that Jesus does want us to be happy. He wouldn't talk about it so much unless he had a desire for his disciples, for his followers, to be happy. And again, not the happiness that the world knows. Not the happiness that depends on circumstances, but the happiness that transcends circumstances, that rises above the things that are going on in our life, and is a deep, abiding joy that comes from within, from a relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants that for all of us. And then the second thing it tells me, that if we are going to be like Him, then we need to be happy. We need to have the happiness that the world can see, and they can say, boy, there goes somebody that knows Jesus. I think it's a very poor testimony, a poor representation, a poor ambassador, however you want to say it, for a Christian to be unhappy. I mean, the world's going to look at us and they'll see the sour face on our look. They'll see the fact that we don't smile, that we don't laugh, that we don't have fun. And by the way, I think when we get to heaven, some of us are going to be surprised what Jesus is like. I think a lot of us have him pictured as a very holy, solemn person. And I think he was at times. But I tell you what, I don't think anybody knew how to have fun like Jesus did. I think his disciples had a good time. I mean, there was a lot of hard times that they had, but they enjoyed themselves because they had a master who knew what it was to be blessed, to be deep down happy, that didn't depend on what was going on around them. He had a happiness that came from within. And it's a poor testimony for us to go around with our sour pusses and the unhappy looks on our face. People are going to look at us and they're going to say, "They ain't much to that salvation. They ain't much to that God if he can't even make his people smile." And I think we as Christians have done more to turn off the lost people with our sour dispositions than we have anything else. And so Jesus, right at the beginning of this message, is talking to his disciples and saying, look, if you're going to be like me, then you need to learn how to be happy. And as we've talked about the past 6 weeks, he mentions in these verses what those how we can be happy, how we can get that happiness. The things, and again, I would remind you, we've talked about it several times, happiness is not the result of things. Man's life does not consist of the things that he possesses. Happiness comes as we become what God wants us to be. Happiness comes as we pursue what God wants us to be. And that's what we've been talking about the past 6 weeks. We said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are we, happy are we when we realize how much we need God. When we depend on him. Because the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is ours. Blessed or happy are those that mourn, that go through those hard times in life and know that there's a God at the other side of that trial that comforts. Blessed are the meek, those that submit themselves to God's will, that let life come to them as God directs it, that trust him. For they shall inherit the earth. We spend our lives trying to gather the things of this earth, and God says, look, that's not going to bring you happiness. Just sit back and let me direct your life. You're going to get it all in the end anyway. So just be happy. Be meek. Blessed are the merciful, those that love, forgive, are patient with others, because they will not only get the mercy of God, but they will become more merciful as they exhibit that mercy. Blessed are the pure, that hunger and thirst after righteousness, that have a desire that keeps coming back to do right, to be obedient to God. The Bible says they'll be filled. And then the one we talked about last week, blessed are the pure in heart, those that have gone through the fire, that have been purified by the trials of God, because they're going to be happy because they will see God. Not physically with their eyes, but they will understand more about what God is like because their hearts have been purified. And so Jesus is saying in all those things, in those six things that we've talked about, here's how happiness comes: by pursuing those things. By pursuing meekness, by pursuing righteousness, by pursuing those things that we've talked about. And then this morning in verse 8, in verse 9, he mentions another thing when he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Just like happiness is important to God, so is peace. It's mentioned 420 times in the Bible, and one of the most wonderful names that's given to our Savior is the Prince of Peace. And what Jesus is saying in this verse is, do you want to be like me? You want to be Christ-like? You want to be a little Christ? Then you be a peacemaker. Now, I want to remind you, and I'm still in my introduction. I'll get to my message in just a minute. And by the way, we'll be done by noon, so don't worry about that. As I've said before, there has no one that's ever walked the face of the earth that has embodied the Beatitudes more than Jesus. There's no person that's walked the face of the earth that has exhibited all these things that we've talked about more than our Savior. He was poor in spirit. He knew that he needed God. He was God. But when he walked the face of this earth, he knew that he needed the Heavenly Father to help him. He mourned and knew the comfort that came from God. He was meek. He said, I came not to do my will, but the will of the Father that sent me. He hungered and thirsted for righteousness. He was merciful. He was pure in heart. And he was happy. And as I read the New Testament, as I read the Gospels, time after time after time, I see that people flocked to Christ. Wherever he went, he drew a crowd. I mean, even the times when he went into the wilderness to be by himself so that he could pray and rest, when people found out where he was, they gathered around him because they wanted to be with him. Because they saw something in his life that they did not have. They saw something in the way that he lived his life that they wanted, that they desired. And if we're going to be like him, if we're going to be Christ-like, then the people of this world need to see the same thing in our lives that they saw in the life of Christ. And say to us, just like they said to him, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is that gives you that deep sense of abiding contentment, that deep sense of joy, that deep sense of happiness, I want it in my life too. There are millions of people that are spending thousands of dollars going to psychiatrists and psychologists trying to find what we have here in Matthew chapter 5. There are millions of people that are searching in drugs and in the bottle and in the things of the world for the happiness that we can claim in Christ, but they don't know the Prince of Peace. And this morning, I want to encourage every single person here not only to desire that happiness, but to know how to get it. Jesus said, you want to be happy, deep down happy, then you be a peacemaker. To say, okay, how do I be a peacemaker? Okay, here I am to my message. So if you haven't, wake up, slap the person next to you. Keep your eyes open. You know, I found that you can listen better with your eyes open than you can shut. You need to have your ears open, but you can listen better with your eyes open as well. How do you be a peacemaker? I want to tell you two ways. Number one, you become a peacemaker when you yourself make peace with God through the Prince of Peace. You cannot be a peacemaker until you have for yourself made peace with God through the Prince of Peace. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, you can't be a peacemaker, and you can't know the happiness that comes from being a peacemaker until you have peace with God. Daniel, come up here just for... You knew I was going to ask you. He's sitting over there. He says, oh, no, not me this morning. Not me. And Brother Clint, you come, okay? I'm going to let Brother Clint represent God this morning. I'm going to be myself. And for me to have peace with God, I need to do something. Because you see, when I was a little baby like Ian and Evan and the little ones that have not reached the point in their life yet where they understand the difference between right and wrong, I have a relationship with God. We're buddies. We're friends. And I can enjoy that relationship because there is not sin in my life. But when I reach the age of account, and by the way, that's why I think little babies that die that haven't reached that age, they go right to heaven. Right to heaven. But when I reach the age where I know the difference between right and wrong, and I make a choice to do wrong, then sin comes into my life. A lot of people want to get real theological as to what sin is. Sin's real simple. It's being disobedient to God. And when I choose to disobey this fellowship that God made me for, created me for, that, by the way, Adam and Eve enjoyed in the Garden of Eden, I think for a long time until they did the same thing, until they disobeyed God and were kicked out of the garden. They could fellowship with God. We could fellowship with God if we could be perfect. But I'm not perfect. I sin. I make a choice to disobey God, and we're separated. There's a gulf between us. And by the way, I'm not alone in this, because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I'm a sinner. I'm separated from my Creator. Oh, and by the way, I was made to fellowship with God. There was a part that God put in me that will never be satisfied with anything else. I don't care what you try to put in it. You try. Solomon said, "Hey, I look for all over the world to try to satisfy something. I mean, I look for things, and I look for education, and I look for pleasure. None of those things fill that spot that God made in you, that He made for Himself to fill. And so I'm separated from my God. Now, I've got to make peace. That verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified, we have peace with God. Well, what does it mean to be justified? Well, the word justified means this, just like it sounds. Just as if I'd never sinned. For me to make peace with God, somehow, I got to get back in God's eyes to just like I was before I sinned. I mean, I've got to regain that state of innocence. I've got to regain that place that I had when I was a real little kid, that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden before they ate the forbidden fruit. I've got to somehow, in God's eyes, get back and be justified and stand before God just as if I'd never sinned. Well, how do I do that? Well, got some bad news for you. I can't do it by myself. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I'm a sinner. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. And God says the only way that I can make peace with Him is to somehow make myself in His eyes perfect, just as if I'd never sinned. Now the Bible says I do that through faith. Faith in what? His Son. Because we're going to let Daniel represent Jesus this morning. All right? Jesus left heaven. He came to Calvary's cross. He died on the cross, not for any sin that He committed, because the Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. So here's Jesus, perfect. The perfect Lamb of God is described by John the Baptist. No sin, not an evil thought, not an evil deed, not a sin of commission or omission. He did everything that God wanted Him to do when He walked the face of the earth. He was man. Now, He was God, but He was also man. He was tempted to disobey God, but He didn't. And so He was qualified to go to the cross. And what Jesus did for me when He went to Calvary, and what Jesus did for every single person in this room, is He took all of my sins. And I'll just illustrate it. He took all my sins and He put them on Himself. And when He died on Calvary, He paid for not His sins, but my sins. And my sins. And so here's faith. Here's where faith comes in. I hear this. Faith cometh by hearing. I hear, hey, when Jesus went to Calvary, Daryl, He took all your sins and He died for them. He paid, Millie, when he went to Calvary, He took all your sins and paid for them. Cliff, when Jesus went to Calvary, He took all your sins and He paid for them. He paid the price. Now here's where faith comes in. I can't go back in history and see it. Nobody made a movie or a DVD. I mean, the only way that I hear about what Christ did for me is from the book, from the Bible. And what I have to do from hearing that story is believe that what God said in the Bible is true. That His perfect Son left heaven, His Son lived a perfect life on earth, and His Son went to Calvary to die for me. And if I will trust that with faith, trust that, believe that, and receive Him, then God will look at me and say, here's how it works. God will look at me, and instead of seeing my sin, He sees the righteousness of Christ. Huh? This is how it works. That's how it works. You see, I can't get out. Once I'm in Christ, I can't get outside of Him. That's what eternal life means. You think just because when I got saved I'm never going to sin again? No. I mean, I know some of you are more spiritual than I am, but you got a preacher that still sins. Don't look so shocked. I still get mad and I still get upset about things. But when God, with His all-knowing eyes, looks at me, He doesn't see that sin anymore. He sees the person I'm in. He sees the person I'm standing behind. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Because you see, in Christ, I can get this fellowship back that I had before, that I lost when I sinned. Thank you, guys. So you want to be a peacemaker? You got to make peace with God through the Prince of Peace. Number two, you want to be a peacemaker? Then you got to point other people that are still at war with God to the Prince of Peace. That's our commission. It's what we were left here to do. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The gospel of Jesus Christ is His death, burial, and resurrection. And that death, burial, and resurrection is payment for our sins. And so, if I want to have the happiness that God wants me to have, if I want to have the happiness that God says to me as a Christian, you need to have it. The world's looking at you to see what kind of God I am. We sang that little song in Sunday school, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." I mean, we need to let our light shine so that people in the world can see us and what we have in Christ Jesus and say, "I don't know what it is, but I want some." And if I am going to be the peacemaker, that is one of the things that Jesus says, "Hey, you want to be like me? You want to be happy? Then you be a peacemaker." If I'm going to be a peacemaker, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Brother Chuck and say, "Brother Chuck, you want to have peace with God? Let me point you to the Prince of Peace. Brother Larry, you want to have peace with God? Let me point you to the Prince of Peace. Ron, you want to have peace with God? Let me point you to the Prince of Peace. Reg, you want to have peace with God? Let me point you to the Prince of Peace." That's what my, if I'm going to be a peacemaker, that's what I need to do. I need to go out into all the world, to every creature, find people that are still at war with God, that are still God's enemy. And by the way, I'll let you in on a little secret this morning. You ain't never going to win that war. If you're still fighting with God, you're going to lose. If you're still fighting with God and you're an enemy of God, you will lose for all eternity. You'll be separated from God for all eternity in a place called hell. And so this morning, if you're still fighting with God, if you're still at enmity with God because of the sin that separates you in God, I want to direct you to the Prince of Peace. I want to direct you to the one that paid for your sin. I want to direct you to the one that went to Calvary to pay for your mistakes and my mistakes. I want you to get in Him, just like I tried to illustrate a moment ago. I want you to get in Him, put on His righteousness. Stand before your Creator God justified, just as if you've never sinned. If you're here this morning and you've never made that decision, this could be your first time, this could be your 18th time that you've been here. It doesn't matter. If you've never done what the Bible says, here's what the Bible says: "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." So I believe what the Bible says. I believe that Jesus did die for me. I believe that if I trust Him, that I can have all my sins forgiven and I can get in Christ and have His righteousness. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." That's what it means. "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior. I say it with my mouth. No secret formula, no secret words. "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. But I believe when you went to Calvary, you took my sins upon yourself and you paid for them and you died for them. And if I put my trust in you, I can get back that fellowship that I lost with God because of my sin. You'll make me part of the family again. I can be a son." John 1:12, "But as many as received Him," Jesus, "to them gave He power to become the sons of God." You can't be, like this verse says in Matthew chapter 5, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You can't be a child of God until you've made peace with God. And you won't be happy as a child of God until you go into the world and point others to the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us a book like the Bible and giving us chapters like Matthew chapter 5 that tell us how to be happy. And I pray this morning, Father, for every Christian that's here, that we'd realize that our happiness not only depends on our having already made peace with you, but our happiness depends on going out and telling other people about them. Going out and telling the world about the Prince of Peace. Going out and telling the world about the one that died for us. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to every Christian, that we would rejoice this morning because we have been saved, and we would take serious the commission that you give us to go out and tell others. And then, Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. They're still separated from God because of their sin. And I pray just now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to that person. Young man, young lady, middle-aged adult, older adult, who's ever here that's never made the decision to receive Christ, that today would be the day. That they would quit depending on their good life. They would quit depending on belonging to a church. That they would quit depending on their parents. They would quit depending on anything that they think is going to make them right with you. And they would realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father but by him. And this morning, with their will, with their mind, they would decide, I am going to believe the Bible, I am going to believe Jesus, and I am going to trust him to make me right with my God. And then, Father, I pray that they would confess that. I pray that they would just, in just a moment when we stand for an invitation, that they would stand, they'd walk down the aisle, and their first act of obedience would be to stand before a church and say, this morning, I ask Jesus to be my Savior. And so again, Holy Spirit, every single person that's here has never asked Christ to be their Savior. In this quiet moment, on the Sunday before Thanksgiving in the year 2003, that they would bow their hearts and their head and pray that little simple prayer that even a child can pray. I'm a sinner, Jesus, but I believe you died for me. And just now, I claim you as my Savior. I take you as my Savior. And I pray, Father, again, that every single person that's never done it before would do it now and trust Christ. Bless the invitation. Use it to your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.